This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 297 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
I am indeed Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au.
Excellent. Did I not say it clearly enough?
No, just a bit of extra free advertising is not going to hurt.
Right.
AU.
Excellent.
AU is really important because .com is some bloody people in America.
Oh, is it?
For all people, yeah.
All right.
Stole my web domain before I thought of it.
Hate that.
People doing stuff like that. How have you been?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
I'll tell you what, we're recording two nights earlier than normal.
We are.
Well, I got to tell you, lucky we're here at all.
Why?
Well, Thursday night.
Did you have another near death experience that involved a box of tissues?
My wife, pardon? No. My wife's going to Sydney on Thursday, so I possibly wouldn't have been able to record then anyway, having to look after the kids.
Oh, right.
But I was in the middle of watching the Justin Bieber celebrity roast when you said, come on, let's record tonight. So hang on. I've got to give up this quality entertainment.
Right.
So thanks for saving me from that.
That's all right. Glad to hear it.
So you've been away. You've been shooting.
Mate, we did. Yes, we had a great weekend.
Yeah?
Had a really good time. It took us 5.5 hours to, well, for, certainly for Kath, Max and I, to drive out to Coonabarabran on Saturday afternoon. Got to the motel pretty much around about.
How slow was your car?
Slow.
So,
no, it's a fair hike.
It's a long way.
It is a long way.
That farmer, that rancher in Texas. Oh, my ranch is so big; it takes me a day to drive across it. Yeah, I got a car like that too. Yeah.
To tell you how far it was.
How far was it, Bruce?
Do you know what we passed on the way?
A grandmother walking with a Zimmer frame.
Better than that.
Really?
We passed.
So you're going faster than that.
The Black Stump.
You didn't.
We did.
On the Black Stump.
I remember my dad always going on about, the other side of the Black Stump, you know, and I never knew that it was a real thing. I just thought it was a made-up thing.
Bruce, I hate to say to you, there's a lot of Black Stumps.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Oh, you went past a Black Stump.
Yeah, but it's a tourist attraction.
Yeah, there's a Black Stump down here I drive past on a...
Right.
Yeah, I used to drive past on a regular basis down towards Gippsland Way.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know where the original one was.
Well, it's beyond.
Yeah.
It's beyond the fake Black Stumps.
Yes. Yeah.
It's even stumpier.
Yes. So, anyway, so we got out there and I had organized to go and see this guy, Peter Starr, who used to be the manager of the Siding Springs Observatory, who now has his own little block of land.
Yeah, 20 bucks a head.
20 bucks a head, blah, blah, blah. Five little observatories in his front yard. So we get out there in the afternoon. There's nobody home.
Oh.
And he came home while we were standing on the side of the road about 100 meters away. Didn't come over and say hi. And I thought, oh, well, I won't bother him now. You know, we'll just come back at 7 o'clock and, you know, cause he had a sign at the front gate that said, you know, next, observation evening starts at 7 o'clock tonight, bookings essential, yada, yada, yada. And I thought, well, I've told him that we're coming, so it'll all be good. So we go back into town, and as we're heading back into town, we found this other place that had a relatively small but still quite large radio telescope in their front yard, as well as an observatory, and quite a large observatory, one that was about 10 meters high. So we stopped and I went up and I knocked on the door and I said g'day to the bloke and introduced myself and told him who I was and how a bunch of us had come out from the coast and we were going to shoot the Milky Way. And I said, would you mind if we used your radio telescope as some foreground interest? And he went, hey, knock yourself out. I went, great.
$15 a head.
No, free.
What? You saved 100.
Yeah.
How many of you were there? Five? Four?
Four, five, yeah, thereabouts. So
you don't remember.
So, well, it depends on whether or not you count Malcolm's wife. She was shooting, but Kind of.
No one counts the wife.
So we head back into town. We go and have dinner. Malcolm's watching the clock because Malcolm wanted to be there for the talk at 7 o'clock at Peter's place. So I said, well, look, you shoot off, go out there, and I'll follow you out shortly because I've got to drop Kath and Max back at the motel. So I get out there at about 7:15 and they're standing on the side of the road and the gates are locked. There's no access at all. And I just went, well, you know what?
Yeah, but that means my bookings are essential. It means no one booked.
Yeah, so we ended up just going, well, you know what? We can go back to this other joint a couple of K's down the road where it's not going to cost us a cent, and we can shoot there. So that's what we
did. How lucky is that?
Yeah.
So why do these people have it in their front yard? What's that all about?
Well, the observatory had a big sign on it that said Skywatch. So obviously in the past they've run it as a commercial venture where, you know, and so we got there, you know, 7:30, 7:45-ish, and we start shooting, you know, the Milky Way and the satellite dish and whatever. And we started to wrap it up, maybe 9:30. We were going to move on to another spot, which was the airport out south of town. And the guy who ran this place, Gary, came out and said, g'day. And, you know, gave us some little postcards with his email address on it. And I went, oh, thanks for that. We'll get you some images. And he went, oh, that'd be great. We'll put them on our Facebook page, yada, yada, yada. Which reminds me, those postcards are still in the door of my car. I need to go and get them and send him some pictures. And I said to him, so what's the story? Do you still run this as a commercial operation? And he said, well, these days we run it as a B&B. He said, and if you come and stay, you get unfettered access to the telescope. He's got an 11-inch telescope in the observatory.
Really?
So David Kembry's pretty excited about that. Malcolm's pretty excited about heading back out there. So we had a great night. So we ended up leaving that spot, and then we drove out to the airport. Now, the one downside that we had at Skywatch was that cars kept driving past with their headlights on, obviously, as is the case. Once we got up to the airport's about 4 kilometres off the highway, and the road that leads to the airport doesn't go anywhere else. So there was no traffic on that road at all.
Yeah.
So we got up there.
And the darkest skies.
Yeah. So we had this, you know, the airport's actually up on top of a mountain, and we were just right up there on an open top of the mountain with no, you know, cars zooming by, no headlights to worry about. Yeah, and so we just shot, you know, more panos. Malcolm and David and Carly shot star trails, and I was happy to just shoot panos. And I wanted to get a really good pano with the whole Milky Way from horizon to horizon.
Yeah, which, how'd you go?
I got one, but I feel like there's room for improvement.
Wasn't it always, though?
Always. The problem was that the 20mm lens was just not quite wide enough.
Yeah.
And what I found when I stitched all of the images together, because what I did for that particular pano was I used just my little handheld torch to...
You can't light up the stars with that.
No, you can't. I tried that. I used that to just light up the landscape in front of me so that I could just get maybe... you know, 10% of the bottom of the frame with the land on it so that I had as much sky as I could possibly get into the frame.
Ah, you're using the old classic old rule of tenths, huh?
Yeah, that's the one. So I panned around and I had this beautiful hero tree that made up the middle of the panorama. And when I got to the, you know, 4 or 5 frames where I, you know, came across the tree... I used the light. No, I didn't. I used off-camera flash with the flash at its lowest power setting just to throw a little bit of definition onto the tree, but not light it up so much that it looked artificial.
Yeah.
And so I ended up with this image, which is it was about 13 or 14 images, I think, in the complete panorama. But what I found was that because of the way... Lightroom stitched all the images together, it was using, I suspect, the common elements, which the part of the ground at the bottom of the frame as its anchor point.
Yeah.
And what that meant was that at the top of the frame, it was distorting the pixels massively in order to get an overlap. And so what I notice when I zoom in on that finished pano is the stars right at the top of the frame look a little bit elongated.
Mm.
So that was my only sort of disappointment.
Are you going to post the shot?
Mate, it's already up. It's been up for days.
Is it?
Thank you for paying attention.
let's have a look here. Here's some shot. That's not a pano. That's not a pano. Some group of weird looking people. Oh, this is you. So this is you, your wife and your kid. So, yeah. I see. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, since I posted that version, Malcolm and I have been discussing colors and saturation, and he pointed out to me that, yes, that I do actually have more color in that image. I just need to hit the saturation a bit harder to bring out the nice rich colors in the center of the galaxy, which is sort of right off to the left-hand side of that panorama, yeah. Which I have done, but I haven't posted that more saturated version to Facebook yet.
Kill it anyway, so.
What's that?
Facebook would kill it.
Oh, yeah.
You might have noticed, but some of the stars at the top of your frame look a bit elongated.
I had noticed that. Thank you for noticing.
You've got to be pretty happy with that as a shot, though.
Mate, well, absolutely.
I would suggest, though, probably a lens wider than 20 mil.
Yeah.
Mate, I've heard of a 16 mil. I think it's a Zenitar.
Yes. Well, yeah, nice of you to mention that. So I was looking on eBay today. Those things, they're made in Russia.
Yes.
I know nothing about them. They're very cheap, but they could be really cheap.
How cheap's cheap?
$200.
Pretty cheap.
Yeah. And that's Australian. That's not rubles.
You're independently wealthy, so it's no great.
Yeah. So I thought, and it's only manual focus, but I thought, well, what the hell? I was doing manual focus with the 20 mil anyway.
Should have.
Yeah. Even though it was an autofocus lens, you still had to manual.
It's not going to focus.
No, exactly. So I thought, a couple hundred bucks, I might just take the punt.
Yeah.
So, we had a great weekend.
Nice. And what was the company like?
Great. Really good. Yeah.
Did you give Malcolm a little pat in the bum? And
no, I did not. I told him about that.
His response?
Yeah. As so to be expected.
I met the guy. I don't know if he's got a sense of humor or
yes,
not.
Yes, he says. Yeah, he said, Glenn and I talk on occasions and we're always meaning to try and hook up at some point. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Like,
but Malcolm made an interesting comment, I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. He said, it's really nice to get out and shoot in Australia. He said, I so rarely shoot in this country.
Travel,
you know, because he's always traveling and taking tours all around the globe. And very
the
rarely.
Poor diddums. Oh,
Cue the violins, yeah.
Oh, woe is me. I can only travel to Africa, Asia, China, Japan. Oh, why can't I take a photo of Woolloomooloo?
So there you go.
No, but I did notice that on his Facebook saying that he's got to spend more time getting out there and just seeing the local stuff.
Yeah.
It's always the way, you know, the grass is always greener.
Yeah. That's true.
Now, I've got to tell you, you've piqued my interest.
Yeah?
What's this announcement thing you're going to make on the podcast tonight?
Remember last week?
No? Yes, vaguely.
Vaguely.
Remember? I had a Friday in it from memory.
Yes. We were talking about something, and I said maybe this is because of the negative backlash from companies stealing images and hoping that they wouldn't get caught, but then when they do get caught, you know, the negative side of it is really bad, yada, yada, yada. Well, as it happens, this past week...
Recently?
I got an email, and it said, "Good afternoon, Bruce. I apologize for this being quite out of the blue, but I'm wondering
if... A relative of yours in Nigeria has been hit by a car.
But I'm wondering if you are the photographer of this image," and then a link to a sunrise panorama that I shot in 2009 down on the south coast.
Oh, is that where you sent that picture for me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If so, I was wondering if you might be able to assist us. I'm writing from a small public school in rural Wisconsin, USA. We are working to revamp our old computer lab and turn it into something unique, creative, comfortable, and collaborative. Part of this vision is to put a large photo mural on one of the walls. I've been looking for a beach sunrise photo that might fit the bill. We're near Lake Michigan and wanted something reflective of our natural surroundings. In my image searching, this picture stood out to me as being a potentially great fit for what we have in mind. I was wondering if you still have the original high-res file. If so, I hoped you might be in a position to quote us a price on using this photo for printing a wall covering. My apologies if you aren't the correct source, and sorry to trouble you if you no longer have the image. I thought it was worth a shot. Thanks for being in touch. Please let us know if you have any more questions. Kind regards, Erica Ray, Technology Integration Specialist at Oostburg School District, Oostburg, Wisconsin. How's that?
Well, that's awesome. And not going to charge him, I hope.
I am not.
Oh, good on you.
I wrote back to her and I said...
There's people like you that's ruining our industry. I don't know, both ways.
There we go. So I wrote back to her and I said, yes, that is my image. Yes, I still have the file. And no, I won't charge you. I'm all for encouraging our students.
I ask is if you fly me over so I can have a photo of me in front of it.
What I did say was, all I ask is that you just put a plaque on the wall beside it to say, you know, Tabauri Sunrise Bruce Williams. And she said, absolutely happy to do that. We're going to print it 40 feet long and 8 feet high.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool.
That's darn cool.
Yeah. So I just thought it was nice that they at least bothered to find the photographer and ask permission rather than just...
Well, they wouldn't be able to get a 40-foot photo out of the one you got on the internet.
No, well, that's right.
But they chose that one. I mean, I'm looking at it and it's like... It doesn't look...
So anyway...
No, it doesn't look like a lake, is what I'm going to say.
No, it's not a lake. It's the ocean.
Oh, yeah, but they live in... You said they live in Lake Michigan.
Yes, they do.
They want to sort of recreate their environment.
Something like that.
This is the ocean.
So,
with a beach.
Yeah, I know, but, well, Lake Michigan is pretty big.
What was the name of the place? Oostburg.
Oostburg.
Oostburg. Is it for the Oostburg School for the Gifted?
It's on the western side of Lake Michigan and about halfway between Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Yeah, speaking of Milwaukee, I was watching Laverne and Shirley today.
Okay, and the reference there is?
They came from Milwaukee.
Right. So does Harley Davidson. Harley Davidson.
Oh, I thought he said Arlie. Who's Arlie Davidson?
The motorcycle company is based in Milwaukee.
There's a good segue. I was photographing Harleys on the weekend.
Were you really?
I was.
Why?
Now, forgive the terminology.
Mm.
It's not mine. It's the people I was shooting.
Mm.
I was doing a Dykes on Bikes.
Oh, okay. You know, I was almost going to say that on Facebook, and I thought, oh, no, that'll be offensive.
No, but there's their terminologies. I haven't used it either, but I thought, oh, dear. Yeah. Yeah, four lesbians on their Harleys. It was
awesome.
When somebody suggested the shoot to me, because my mate, I was going to help my mate Dave Oakley. He was approached for some reason to do it.
Right.
And I said, he begged if I could come along and help him out. And so I said yes. And then when I got there, I realized what we were shooting, who we were shooting.
Yeah, right.
And it was a good fun day. It was challenging, but fun.
Awesome.
It was quite out of my normal. I had a funny week of out of my normal zone of shooting last week.
Yeah, right.
You know, lighting the babies and the dolls.
Yeah,
Dykes on
plastic
bikes,
cups.
Plastic cups. You saw the air. It was a strange week. Then I photographed the kids just because I had to get my balance back.
Excellent.
Wow, so you've had a good week.
I have. Yeah. So I was.
And you've been away and done more big images.
Yeah. But I was just really, you know, just it reinstated my.
Humanity is also.
That's the one. My faith in humanity that somebody would actually bother to reach out and go, hey, you know, is it okay if we use it?
Hey, if we ask nice enough, you might give it to us for free.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. You know.
Yeah, but you put some photographer out of business. Yeah. Some stock library guy doesn't get his couple hundred bucks.
Oh,
probably
well.
Probably some kids in America now can't go to school for a year because of you. You should have given the stuff away. You could have said make a donation to charity, the Bruce Williams Photography Charity.
Well, yeah, there you go.
No, I would have done exactly the same thing.
Would you?
Yeah, it's for school. Yeah, yeah. Especially being a dad, you know. It's, yeah. If my kid's school wanted to spend money on an image rather than educating my kid, I'd say, no, you're mad.
Yeah.
Find someone somewhere is going to give you – it might not be the ideal, perfect image you want, but there's going to be a free image there somewhere for you.
Yeah.
Spend the money on educating my kids.
Yep.
Yeah. Buy a resource that's usable for the kids.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I will ask them to send me a photo of the wall once.
With the kids in front of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be nice to see. So, yeah.
To prove it was real, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Some advertising agency's got these billboards in Wisconsin. Yeah. Yeah, we'd use the old school line on them again. It works every time.
It worked a treat.
It works every time.
Oh dear. Cool. Anyway.
2 weeks
ago, I think it was you, sent us a link on the self portraits of Alex DeForest.
Who? Oh, the lighting guy.
Yes.
Yes, that was me.
Do you know what?
No.
About 1 hour after you and I recorded last week.
Yeah.
I got an email from him saying, thanks, that made my day.
How did you know?
Well, obviously he gets link backs when people post links on their own websites that link to his website.
Oh, an hour after you posted. I thought it was an hour after we recorded. So how the hell do you know that?
He didn't know that we'd recorded. He was just replying to the previous week's episode of the podcast because he'd heard it. And yeah.
So he emailed you, didn't email me.
That's right.
I'm the one who brought it up. Yeah. Where's my love? It's all about you. This podcast is all about you, isn't it, Bruce? You. Show me some love.
I just did. I just told you about it. Now we've all heard of Orem Light.
Who?
I've
heard of Orem Heavy.
Yeah. No, I can't pronounce the guy's name. He's Polish. He goes by the name Orem Light, and he does the milk photos.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yes, that guy.
Just say the milk bloke.
Yes, right.
Well, I say, what, my dad?
Well, he's done an interview for 500px. Just,
really?
Just text, you know, which they've published on their website. And the link for it will be in the show notes. But there was one particular paragraph that I thought was really cool. He said, people say the times are hard for photographers. I say that in photography...
That's because people keep giving their photos away to schools.
Is that what it is? I say that in photography, there was never a better time to do amazing things. The game has changed, that's for sure, but there is absolutely space out there for anyone, for you, for me. Just find the right spot, make it yours, and never let it go.
Mm.
And I thought that was a nice, inspiring quote from someone who has... absolutely just found a niche that nobody else was really filling.
Yeah, and he's milked it.
Milked it for all it was worth. There you go. So I thought, yeah, that was great. But the link will be in the show notes if you want to read the whole interview, and certainly worth it. He talks about how he came across an ad campaign that had used a similar technique, and it just absolutely inspired him. And so he then just started trawling the internet looking for any information he could find on doing shoots of that description. And then he's taken everything he could find and adapted it and come up with that look.
His own version. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. That's all from me. Adam had a few things that he posted on the Facebook wall.
Did he?
He did. One.
He's not a silent partner, really, isn't he?
He is. Although he's getting lazy. You know, lazy.
You're Robin. I'm Batman. He's like, what's the name?
He's Alfred.
Alfred, that's it. Doddery old Alfred.
But he's getting lazy because all of his links this week came from Petapixel.
Well, that's what I do. It's still in my sources.
There you go. So this was one that you came up with as well, which was the time lapses made with photos mined from the web. They've put together, this is kind of like a YouTube video version of a university white paper. So they've used all these images that they've sourced from the web and created these time lapses, but the voiceover that goes with it is really creepy. it's like this guy who's talking right in your ear like this.
Oh, don't do that because I've got headphones on. It sounds like you're talking right in my ear, Bruce.
And that's what it's like. It's really horrible. It's awful to listen to. And the guy, I think...
I mean, make sure you weren't there. Because what's really weird is only one of my earphones is working. So it's like you're talking in one ear only, like leaning over that shoulder.
So anyway, that link will be in the show notes for those that want to check that out. It is pretty amazing what they're doing.
It's pretty amazing.
Just don't know how they're sourcing images from the same vantage point. But there you go. So anyway, that was the first one. The second one that Adam had was the person on Facebook who published, like, put a photo on Facebook, and next thing they get a reply on their, you know, on their post from Samsung UK going, "We love your picture. Could we and our retailers use it to show what our products look like? Please reply #yes to agree to our terms, http://" Right? So it, on the face of it, it sounds like, you know, they just want to share it on social media. But when you actually go and, you know, read the terms that have been linked to, it turns out that they're planning on using it for a national TV campaign. And by agreeing to the terms, you are confirming that you have the rights to the image and have model sign off for anyone featured in the image.
Yep.
And if it comes back to haunt Samsung, you're taking the fall, not them.
Yeah, it's fairly standard. It is. That's all pretty standard.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. All they're giving away your rights. It's ours. We can do whatever we damn well want with it for as long as we want.
Yeah. With
any purpose. With
no risk to us.
Yeah. That's a fairly standard. Unfortunately, it's a fairly standard agreement these days. Wow, that's just really taken. That's just covering. What it is, it's them covering themselves just in case, you know. Yeah. But for anyone who can go, oh my God, I'm doing that. Yeah, it's nutso.
And the last one that Adam had for us this week was one photographer's epic self-portraits in front of vast landscapes. I haven't had a chance to read this entire thing, so I don't know how he's triggering his shutter. Presumably it's just via remote, wireless remote. But they are epic self-portraits.
He's got his arms out in a lot of the shots. He must be pointing at the camera.
Right. So that's quite possible. But it just seems that on some of them, he's a really, really long way from the camera.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of meters.
Oh, he might have a cable. They are pretty damn amazing photos, I've got to say.
Like a fireman, he's walking around with 100 yards of rope on his, shoulder, which is the cable release.
Tell you what, his entire Milky Way panos crap all over yours.
They do.
No, this is post-processing, though. He just processes his night skies better than you do.
Yeah.
It is some astounding... Oh, the last one. He's a country mile away.
This is the last one. I haven't got the just, last one.
He's probably only about 10 feet from the lens. He's using a really wide-angle lens.
Yeah.
Really wide.
Yeah, eight mil fisheye.
Yeah. They're pretty cool, though. And Erin sent us something.
She did, and this was a great story, and I should have used the opportunity to jump to this when you mentioned about
you scumbag, Bruce.
Making donations. This is a story of a guy called Mark Wallace, who I'm not familiar with. He's a photographer based in Phoenix, Arizona. And what he's done is set up a campaign for the Nepal earthquake victims. And I love this message. I'm giving away one of my top-selling workshops. I'm giving this workshop to anyone who donates any amount. Give what you think is appropriate, $1, $5, $500. If you donate any amount, I'll give you my workshop, which I thought was really generous.
Yeah, especially from David in Australia who gave $25.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. David's either got his own airplane or he just doesn't care about the $25.
But we didn't read the fine print.
Didn't read the fine print, yeah. But
Phoenix, Arizona. It's Phoenix, Australia. It's Phoenix, yeah. Arizona. Damn.
Anyway. But yeah.
That's great, isn't it?
That is good. And he's raised $2,580 as of the time of this recording.
Gee, Anonymous has gone a few times, though.
Yeah.
He's donated several times so far. Yeah. There's another one, Anonymous. Three times this guy's donated.
Yeah. Obviously, he doesn't learn real fast. He has to keep going back and do the workshop.
Russian Federation, Denmark, United Kingdom, Slovakia.
Yeah.
Oh, very goodness.
Well, there's probably just some people who are just happy to donate. And just
lovely people. If you're going to donate for something, why not donate for that one?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stuff.
So thank you for that link, Aaron. What do you got?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, have I got? No, I've got not much. I did put in some hard yards research, thanks to you.
Yeah.
You sent me the link to the Kate Upton video.
Oh, how good was that?
Flight, yeah,
she's purely for the photographic angle.
Yeah, of course, because they're recreating her in space using the Vomit Comet, the plane. But you know what made me really excited about it was the overdub voice saying, you know, no one's ever done a fashion shoot in that plane with Kate Upton before. Like, really?
Yeah.
As I put down after that, well, Bruce had never shot in that field with that telescope with those guys on that night before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, no shit, Sherlock. You know, it's not, no one's ever done a fashion shoot in this plane, in this type of plane before. Well, that's, not in this plane where that colored bikini with that girl, with this guy, with that camera. It's like, what a stupid voiceover.
Yeah.
But pretty cool photo shoot, you've got to say.
Oh, absolutely.
Very cool photo shoot.
Yeah.
Then I came across this one talking about self-portraits, long-exposure portraits. This guy's been doing portraits with glowing phosphorescent plankton.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, that's that little glow in the water.
Wow.
He's been doing portraits of people with this stuff, which is which is amazing, you'll say. Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Then I came across this very cool one. For Dear Canon and Nikon, I have some suggestions.
Oh, that was funny.
Did you see that?
That was funny.
It said, Dear Canon and Nikon, last November, a spacecraft which had traveled 6.4 billion miles over 10 years successfully landed on a comet. A comet! This means we can now do anything, include make the shutters go for more than 30 seconds, which is why I'm writing to you today with a list of suggestions, nay, improvements that I hope you'll consider implementing. None of the suggestions are as daunting as landing on a comet. Warmed hand grips.
That's a good one.
So warm up, kind of cool,
Yep.
Built-in MP3 player.
Yeah, but to do that, you've then got to have speakers.
Not if you have a headphone jack. That's where, and you'd be normally doing that if you're doing video with it anyway, wouldn't you?
I suppose.
Yeah. And as some wag on the internet said, oh, my whatever cameras had that in years ago. And then someone said, oh, was it a Sony? I said, no, Sony is still sticking with the cassette Walkman inside their cameras. A Facebook.
And did you see my reply to that?
Oh, I didn't see that, no.
I said, well, it's better than the 8-track players that those Canon DSLRs have.
That's funny stuff. Not. So Facebook app and video games, that's just plain stupid.
That is, because that's just going to sap your battery faster.
But it says now there are times at every wedding reception where things get a little bit boring. The wedding party's eating, you photograph everything you can, they're just standing around waiting for something to happen. It's super nice if we could look at the display in the back of the camera, scroll through our Facebook news feed, or play a game. So to the guest, it would simply be a photographer perusing his images, but in reality, we're watching cat videos or trying to get a high score in Candy Crush. All good. Camera manual that's a pop-up book. I love this idea. And her explanation is, I don't think this needs explaining. And I agree. Photographer proximity warning system.
Yep.
So her husband's car's got a warning sound if your car gets too close to another car. Cameras coming, that'd be awesome as well. And my personal favorite, positive reinforcement sound effects shutter. So when you press the button, it says things like, good job, you're amazing, good girl, you're a stud. These clients are lucky to have you. This camera doesn't deserve you. You could sell this for $20 million. So that'd be awesome, just having this every time. You know, people battle with confidence, you know?
Yep.
Oh, you know, I don't think anyone's ever shot a photo like that before. That could go either way, of course. But, you know.
I like the suggestion feature, the last one.
You swipe a credit card at a store, ask you to confirm the amount. Well, this one suggestion feature would activate before you're allowed to take photographs. Are you sure you want to do this? Press yes to continue. You do realise that these are backlit? Press yes to continue. Do you understand you'll not be able to see their faces? Press yes to continue. So let me get this straight. You're okay with the entire session being shot in silhouette? Press yes to continue. I've done all I can do. Press yes to exit. You're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny stuff. So that was good. And but what I found most enjoyable were some of the comments.
Oh, I didn't read them.
Comments are always good. So the comments are usually where the joy is.
Yeah, that's true.
One is the asterisk, which is the editor's note saying, just in case you missed it, this is a work of satire and not meant to be taken seriously. That is for this reader. These are the worst suggestions for a camera period. Video games when you are bored? You shouldn't be doing photography if downtime is something you can't stand or manage. You want your camera to be a hand warmer? I wouldn't like to change my batteries for a sporting event to find out that my hands are warm and I have no battery left for photos. All the ideas are horrible. You don't need a manual in a camera. You don't need a manual in the camera. You either know your camera or you don't. There's no way you could possibly find the time to learn your camera manual during a photo shoot. I love that. The most needed missing feature from this reader was auto-invoicing. I love this. Swipe the client's credit card at the beginning of the shoot. You've got money, you know?
Yeah.
Bang, that solves a major problem. How about a camera that does all the photo taking itself? That way, when someone finally can say, gee, you get great photographs, you must have a good camera, it'd be true.
Yeah, nice.
Once. But this one blew me away. This guy goes, was this supposed to be funny? We used to make these jokes back in the day before the D600 came out was making fun of people coming up with suggestions of TV and video games and can openers. Back in the day when the D600, it's only like 2 years ago. Yeah. Since when was 2 years back in the day? That was back in my 40s, I'll admit to that. Hey, Bruce. That makes me so old. And then an update on Vivian Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
One of the owners of the collections basically is suing the Cook County government in his state because they've taken on a legal fight, freezing all the images, all the replica, all the negatives, everything of the Vivian Meyer's photos this guy had.
Right.
In taking the side of the heir of her fortune that she should earn from these photos.
Right.
The problem is the heir they think she should be entitled to is her brother Charles, who disappeared 60 years ago. Right. And there's no record of his existence anywhere on the planet.
Wow.
And no record of his death. He just simply disappeared 60 years ago.
Wow. Right?
But they're freezing everything until the guy would turn 100.
Oh, wow. Right?
Which is only 5 years from now still.
Oh, okay. Right.
But then they're going to hold on, keep it frozen even longer, just in case he had kids whilst he was missing for those 60 years.
Right.
So they've frozen all this stuff. He basically sold the rights off to a gallery and gave up the whole thing. He just quit the whole thing.
Wow! I can't
afford a legal fight for 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, right.
To get stuff, yeah. Isn't it astounding? But they found an heir. They found an heir themselves.
Yeah,
but
right.
But this county's going, oh no, but it's not the closest heir. The closest heir is her brother Charles, who disappeared 60 years ago. Yeah, that's very bizarre. Very strange. Yeah, so I thought that was weird thing.
Yeah.
So it happens. The tip that comes out of this, people, write a will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a will. Where there's a will, there's a way. There's a reason there's that saying. And that was it for me for the week. Right. Dive some bikes, I photographed the kids, awesome. Photographed a cup.
Excellent.
Strange week. Yeah, that's
cool.
It.
Awesome.
It was a short one this week.
It was.
Would be, because you only gave me like 20 minutes notice before we had to record.
Well, maybe so, I should do that more often.
Yeah, by 20 minutes, I mean 3 hours.
Yeah. So what do you got on for the rest of the week?
A couple of naps.
Right. That's it?
No, pretty much.
Right.
Got to catch up on stories.
Okay.
Should be on Netflix.
How good is Netflix?
Netflix is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to watch Netflix, a couple of naps. I've got to cook some pasta tomorrow night for the kids.
Right.
That's about it. Take them to school, pick them up from school. Got a workshop on Saturday.
Cool. Should we have mentioned the Pass the Camera project?
I don't know. Is there any news?
David Frog Clark has just received it in Tassie.
Oh, did he?
He'll be photographing something this weekend, and then it leaves the country. It's off to the US.
Hey, that bloody time.
Yeah.
We didn't get all this effort to have the thing flipping around Australia.
No, that's right. So, yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah. So, who's it going to in the US?
I don't recall. I'd have to go and look up the list, which is, actually, I might have that on my desktop.
Doesn't matter. I don't really care.
No, I didn't think you did.
Okay. I'm going to watch my stories. Hey. See you, dude.
See ya.
Watch my stories. Bye.
Now, if you've been paying attention to the show notes, and if you do recall from a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about filters made by a company called Breakthrough Photography, who were advertising on Facebook, and that's how I came across them. I reached out to the guy who started the company, Graham Clark, and invited him to come on and have a bit of a chat about his filters, and he was very happy to do so. He's on a business trip to Hong Kong, which put him in almost the same time zone as me, certainly a little bit closer than his native time zone of San Francisco. So Graham's currently in Hong Kong, and he joins us tonight on Skype. Graham Clark, welcome to Shutters Inc.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
So you're in Hong Kong right now.
I am, yes. I'm traveling quite a bit for some products that we're launching pretty soon.
Oh, okay. That sounds interesting. Well, we'll come back to that later in the interview. First of all, I just really wanted to sort of introduce you to our audience. Do you want to just, I don't know, in 60 seconds, give us a bit of background about you?
Sure, absolutely. My name's Graham Clark. I'm a landscape photographer, and I'm a founder of a photography filter company based in San Francisco. We design and manufacture the world's sharpest and most color-neutral ND filters.
Cool. Okay, that's very succinct. So what got you into landscape photography?
You know, I got into landscape photography about 10 years ago, growing up reading Ansel Adams, Galen Rowell, American landscape photographers, and, you know, just having a passion for traveling. I just sort of fell into it and just sort of fell in love with it. And ever since then, I've been trying to shoot and get out as much as possible.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Exactly.
Wow. And so what got you to a point where you thought about or had the idea of starting a company that would make photographic filters? What brought you to that point?
Well, I had taken a trip about, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or so. I got back from a trip where I traveled from Alaska to Argentina by land, just sort of pursuing the art of photography. But In that 2.5 years of traveling, I, you know, really got a hands-on experience with the equipment firsthand for, you know, extended periods of time. And so I guess it was just sort of like, you know, I was just using this stuff every single day just about. And I just couldn't help but wonder, you know, how can I improve this a little bit more? Not just for filters, but other things as well.
So without asking you to name names, was it a case of that there were filters you were using that you felt could have been giving you better performance than they were capable of giving?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Wow. And I guess that's what led to Breakthrough Photography and the development of your X3 filters then.
It was, yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the process. I understand you make them out of glass as opposed to the plastics that some of the other manufacturers use. What's the benefit of glass over plastic?
Yeah, so we manufacture, we design and manufacture circular filters, and the glass and the graduated neutral density filters are typically manufactured from CR39 optical resin, which is just a fancy word for plastic.
Right.
So we're not manufacturing the grads yet, but we're looking at those.
Right.
Because those are just plastic. But right now what we're doing is we're manufacturing circular neutral density filters. We're making the glass in Germany, and we're using an advanced ND coating process to achieve the color neutrality, as opposed to baking the glass in ovens, which is how it's been done for about 50 years or so. There hasn't really been too much innovation with regards to photography optics. It's one of those, you know, accessories that's just been kind of forgotten. So we're just kind of, you know, taking a look, a fresh eye, so to speak, at this whole filter market, yeah, trying to, you know, make minor improvements here and there.
Right. So I'm not familiar with the manufacturing process for glass filters, but I mean, you're saying that in the past they've baked them like in an oven?
Yeah, the traditional process for manufacturing a neutral density filter is to take raw glass material and then take that material and bake it in ovens to achieve the neutral density and then grind it down to the specified size, which is usually around 1.2 to 2.0 millimeters thick. And so this has just been the traditional process, is just baking the glass in ovens, and that's what you get when you buy an ND filter.
So what is it that using that process, which is not the process you're using, and we will come to that, but using that process of baking the glass, what is it that makes you end up with either, you know, a 6-stop filter or a 10-stop filter or a 3-stop filter? Is it the temperature it's baked at? Is it the duration it's baked for? Or is there some additive?
It has a combination. Exactly. Yep. You nailed it precisely. So it's just a combination of both. And so this traditional method, it's a really great method for achieving really good color neutral ND filters, and B+W and Lee and Singray and all the best guys out there. They've been doing this very successfully for the past, 50 years in some cases. So this traditional method, we could just call it the traditional method, is a really good method of doing this. And this is how we actually started out. So our X2 ND, that's the method we use. So, right. Yeah.
So the method that you referred to earlier, that what was it, CR39?
Yeah, the optical resin that the graduated filters are manufactured with. Yeah, that process I'm not actually familiar with. Out of plastics.
Right. So your neutral density filters are a baked glass?
Yes. So we have two different ND filters, X2 ND and X3 ND. So the X2 uses the traditional method of baking the glass. The X3 uses the new technology, which is ND coatings, which is just using advanced optical engineering, essentially optical coatings, to achieve the ND glass as opposed to baking the glass, which allows.
So is there a way for you to describe that process without giving away a trade secret?
Not really, unfortunately. Right, but okay. But in short, what it allows us to do is precisely control the color profile. In other words, the RGB on the color profile a lot more precisely than an oven.
Right. Because that's the thing that's really interested me. I'm guessing that you guys bought an advertising campaign online, because I suddenly started seeing your name popping up on my Facebook feed a few weeks ago. So obviously the targeting of your ad campaign was very good. So,
well, Australia is one of our biggest markets, and we really love outdoor landscape photographers, because that's what we do. So cool. That's probably why you saw the ad.
So that's what got me interested. And the thing that, obviously caught my eye first of all was the claim of this, super color-free neutral density filter, and that's what got me looking at your product, and hence why I reached out to you. It's a pretty amazing result that you've managed to achieve, because I myself shoot with a format high-tech filter, and I've got to say, it's great for its 10 stops, and I actually find it's like 10 stops for the red and the green channel, but it's like 11 stops for the blue channel.
Interesting.
Or is it the other way around? Whichever way it is, I end up with a very strong blue cast, and it requires a heck of a lot of post-processing to pull any reds out of it.
The longer the glass is baked in these ovens, or is typically speaking, the higher the ND strength, the more color cast is then on the image, because it just sort of amplifies the already inherent color cast.
Yeah, right.
ND filter. So like a 3-stop filter that might be a little bit blue or a little bit yellow, at a 10-stop, that'll be even more blue or yellow. So yeah. They all say that they're completely color neutral, but we're a manufacturer and nothing's completely color neutral when it comes to ND filters. Yet all the manufacturers like to say they are completely color neutral.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to get it completely color neutral just because of physics.
Yep.
But we've been able to get it to be the most color neutral compared to the other guys. And you know, that's sort of where we're at now with the X3 and D.
Yeah. Well, I mean, based on the sample images you've got on your website, it certainly looks like you're achieving amazing results in comparison to your competition.
Yeah, with regards to color neutrality, yes, it's definitely the most color neutral, which is really great for landscape photographers, for outdoor photographers, photographers who are looking for really high optical resolution,
yep.
especially with the advent of, you know, Sony's, you know, full frame sensors in the D800 and the A7R, and with the upcoming 5DSR, you know, this is definitely something that landscape photographers might be able to appreciate.
Right. So just venturing a little off the topic here, what's the 5DSR?
Or the 5DR, the new Canon full frame.
Right. I shoot Sony myself, so.
Oh, okay. I do as well.
Cool. What are you shooting with?
I shoot with the Sony A7R and the Canon 16-35 f4.is, so sort of Sony body with the Canon lenses is sort of what I'm shooting with right now.
May I ask what prompted you to go Sony body but Canon lens?
Well, I've been using Canon bodies for quite a while. I really love the, you know, 5D Mark III and even like the 6D even more for travel and landscape photography. But when the A7R came out, I got one of the first copies to ship, and I've been using that about 50% of the time now. And
yeah,
I just love the small form factor as a travel and landscape photographer. Size is really important for me, but also resolution.
Am I right in thinking the A7R is that's the 36 megapixel version?
Yes.
Right, yes. I've been shooting with the A850 for the last 5 or 6 years and absolutely love it. But I did fall in love with the A7S when it came out because I thought, you know, the low light performance of that camera really intrigues me.
Oh, yeah, plus the 4K.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, if you're into shooting video, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. So obviously, you know, you've been so successful with these filters that you've completely sold out of them, which is a great problem to have. I want to ask you, and obviously, you know, you can't speak for other manufacturers, but it seems that there's a common, I'll call it a problem. I don't mean to make it sound negative, but it seems that all filter manufacturers have trouble getting these, you know, particularly 10-stop filters out of the factory fast enough. Why is that?
You know, 10-stop is one of the most popular variations of the different neutral densities, and I think it's because it's probably one of the easiest long exposure filters to use, because if you're at 1/30th of a second on the camera, you put on the 10-stop and it's roughly 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So just because it's that sort of even number kind of makes it, you know, a little bit easier when it goes out to the really long exposures. That's kind of all I can guess, but when it comes to sunrises and sunsets, you know what? It's actually not a very useful filter, and I think a lot of photographers find that out. You know, we manufacture it and we're sold out like crazy, but I think a lot of people, when they're getting into ND filters, they go straight for the 10, not realizing that it's actually kind of tricky to use and you can't really use it for sunrises and sunsets.
Yeah.
So
you're finding the 6-stop is a lot more usable?
Well, in my personal experience, you know, the 2-minute to like 4-minute and 30-second range for sunrises and sunsets is really kind of like the sweet spot.
Nice.
You know, at like between like F50 to F100, somewhere in like, you know, F8 to like F18.
Right.
So, you know, using those parameters with like 2 minutes to 4 minutes and 30 seconds, the 6-stop throws you right in the middle there.
Yeah, nice.
Whereas the 10-stop would throw you out to like 10 minutes, and sometimes the sunset's, you know, not even that long. So,
yeah.
So I think the 3-stop and the 6-stop are really a good combination, and 3 plus 6 is 9, so you can kind of do both with those two.
Nice. So in terms of your 10-stop, you're expecting new stock around when?
Well, we're manufacturing around the clock right now, so probably just a couple months after this podcast come out, we're going to have those back in stock and selling quite a bit on B&H, Adorama, Amazon, you know, all the usual suspects when it comes to, you know, retailers and stuff.
Awesome.
But also for your, you know, for all the, you know, we have a lot of customers in Australia. Australia is one of our most important markets, so we ship directly from our site to Australia.
Right.
And so, you know, if people are in Australia, that sometimes Amazon.com USA doesn't work so well.
Right. Okay. So people can order straight through breakthroughphotography.com.
Yes. And at the end of this podcast, I'm going to give your listeners a coupon code to get free shipping to Australia for a couple months. And
fantastic.
We love.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. All right. Well, mate, I have to congratulate you on your landscape photography. There's some beautiful images there.
Oh, well, thanks. It's mostly just playing around and having fun, but
yeah, isn't that the best?
What I like to do. Yeah.
Myself and three mates just last weekend, we drove 5 hours out into the middle of New South Wales and photographed the Milky Way from a really dark sky area. So,
oh, man, I'm sure the light pollution there was just virtually nil, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was gorgeous.
Oh, that's perfect. Nice.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's good for the soul to just get out and, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How can we figure out how to do that full time? That's the question. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, something else I saw on your website is you offer a 25-year guarantee on your filters.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. You know, that sort of came from, you know, I was, ever since I got the Sony A7R, I've been using these really classic old 35 millimeter lenses from Canon and Nikon.
Yep.
Some of them are like 60 years old.
Yep.
And you know what? I got a lot of these lenses and they have filters on them. And these filters are in pristine, perfect condition. So, you know, when we started making filters, we thought, man, if these things are lasting this long, you know, we have no idea why the other guys, you know, have warranties of 1 to 3 years. So,
yeah.
So 25 years is what our warranty is, but they're going to last a lot longer than that.
Sensational. And I also noticed, and I particularly wanted to bring this to everybody's attention, 5% of all profits to nonprofit organizations.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Yeah. Every single purchase that is made on our website, we donate 1% to 1% for the planet, and then the other 4% to different nonprofits. And we try to make them international, like, you know, World Wildlife Fund, so we can sort of, you know, give back. And so all of our packaging and everything has that on it. And, you know, why not give back?
That's really cool, man. That's really cool. Graham, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and telling us a bit about your product.
Absolutely.
Anything you want to talk about, upcoming products, stuff you're working on? Is there anything you can talk about that's in the works?
Yeah. You know, actually we're working on two products right now. We're working on the world's sharpest and most color neutral, circular polarizer. So we're really, really excited for that one. And we're also working on a new product, which hasn't really hit the market ever before, which is what we're going to be calling the X3 Dark CPL, which is a ND plus CPL. And so this is sort of like a market first. And so essentially you would be able to have a circular polarizer with an ND in the same unit. So it reduces vignetting because you have less filter frame thickness and you don't have to stack filters.
Yeah, right. So a circular polarizer that's also neutral density.
Right. And so what we're doing is we, you know, we came out with the X3 ND a couple months ago. It's the world's sharpest and most color neutral ND filter. And so we're coming out with the X3 CPL, which is the world's sharpest, most color neutral CPL. So we're combining those two.
Nice. And when do you expect that product out?
Probably in about 2 to 3 months or so. So
yeah,
our timeline for that is, you know, we're just finalizing that one right now. So stay tuned for that. And we just came out with a 52-page long exposure guide. It's essentially like an essential reference guide. So your listeners, feel free to, you know, come on over to the site and download that for free.
Yeah.
Doesn't cost anything. So if you're into long exposure stuff or want to learn how to get into it, check out the essential reference guide.
Well, Graham, mate, thank you so much for coming on and having a chat. Really appreciate it. And
absolutely. Thanks so much, Bruce, for having me on. It's really, really great to be here. And thanks so much for putting on such a great quality podcast and connecting me with your audience. I really appreciate it.
No worries, Graham. All right. Well, that will do it for episode 297. Now, as Graham alluded to, there is a voucher code which will give you free shipping should you wish to order any of the X3 filters, or actually any of the filters from Breakthrough Photography. That voucher code is shutters-inc-295. I will put that in the show notes so you can just copy and paste, and that will give you free shipping. So get into it. That will just about do it, I think. So until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shuttersincpodcast.com.